sing, oh, heaven revolve. For the first time in my life, I am alive. When I looked into Jesus, I found me a friend, and I'll never go back up there. Oh, life ever. Oh, no, I'd never go back to thee, oh, life ever again. Oh, Lord, I'd never go back to thee, oh, life, never again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good evening. Now, once more, we are gathered together in the house of the Lord. Thankful to be on this side of life and able to move and have our very being. You know, the situation that happened in Haiti should make us all aware of God's power. How unpredictable life can be. You can be here today and gone tomorrow. Let us continue to keep that country in our prayers. In addition, we ask that you continue to keep our Heart Street members in your prayers as well. You know, over the last month, we have been going through a lot. You know, some of our members have had surgery and are recovering. Others are grieving due to the loss of loved ones. And all the rest of us are struggling daily, just trying to be a better Christian than we were the day before. Amen. To any who may be visiting, we'd like to let you know that you are an honored guest. Amen. We are glad that you decided to worship here with us. Amen. And if you are struggling with questions about where you should be spiritually, hopefully tonight, your questions can be answered. And you realize that there's only one place where God wants you to be. And that's in the church that his son built. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the scripture passage that was read by Brother Derek Oakley, coming from 1 John. The chapter is 4, starting at verse 9. Say amen when you can. All right. Wake us up a little bit. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. I'd like to talk to you this evening with the subject entitled, A Love That Is Like No Other. A love that is like no other. You know, sometimes I'm confronted by members, Brother Jones, saying that we don't preach enough about love, how love plays an important part in the house of the Lord, or having love one for another. You know, most of the time when defining love, we often can relate to the love that a mother has for her children, how strong that love is. How mothers throughout the ages of time have sacrificed tremendously for her children, for their welfare, and for their survival. And I believe most of us in here tonight would agree to that, especially the mothers. Am I right about the mothers? You know, I can remember when my father died, my mother was left with responsibility of taking care of two kids. You know, she had to sacrifice and do without for us. And even though my sister and I were angels, Brother Jones, She begged to differ. But it was still hard raising teenagers. But I think she did a great job. And I thank her for all she did for us. But tonight, I'm going to shed light on how this one particular father has loved his creation since the beginning of time. You know, the father I'm talking about, Brother Barney, sometimes get overlooked when our lives become too busy for him. But he loves us anyway. The father I'm talking about sometimes get unappreciated because we assume that no matter how we act or get ourselves into sinful situations, he's always going to be there to get us out. The father I'm talking about is Almighty Jehovah God, amen. And to truly understand how much God loves us, we need to first understand how much he sacrificed that we can have a chance to be with him one day. Amen. I like to use an exercise, and ask all of us to participate. Is it all right? Yes. All right. If you have children, would you please let it be known by raising your hand? We have a lot of parents in here. Now, I want you to close your eyes. All parents, close your eyes. And imagine if you only had one child. And in order to save the whole human race from being eternally destroyed, you had to sacrifice that one child. Knowing that the majority of the human race who you are saving doesn't really acknowledge you as a savior. They have other gods and idols who they are worshiping. They adorn and mold despicable, sinful things without regards for you. But you are still willing to sacrifice your only child because that's the only way to save the people. That's what our spiritual Father God did, amen. Open your eyes. And I thank you for participating. You know, I did this exercise to make it more personal to us. And to understand what God did, sometimes we gotta put ourselves in his place. And I'm pretty sure that none of us in here would have sacrificed our child for the sins of the world. But God did. And I'm so grateful that he did. And you should be too. A love that is like no other. In our scripture passage, starting with verse 9, we learn something about the nature of God. The Bible says, and this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. You know, from this verse, we see the compassion that God has for us. The love that God has for us caused him to send Jesus, his only begotten Son, not only to show us a better way of how to live, but to show us how much Jesus loves us also. You know, some years back, I believe the actor Mel Gibson produced and directed a movie called The Passion of Christ. And I'm sure most of us have seen that or heard about that movie. And even though we have the Bible to tell us about the passion and the crucifixion of Christ, that movie just helps solidify the story, amen. And even it portrays the abuse, the cruelty, and even the death of Christ on the cross. We shouldn't be so disturbed because Jesus reminds us of his purpose for coming to the world in the first place. We find in Mark 10:45, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, Jesus knew all the details about his Father's will, and what was at stake if he didn't fulfill it. So he came anyway. He knew about the suffering, the agonizing pain that he would endure on our behalf, but he came anyway. He even knew that the majority of the people wouldn't get it, that he was actually the Son of the living God until he was gone. But Jesus still came anyway. You know, the love that God and Jesus has for us is as a love that is like no other. In verse 10, we discover a better understanding of the word love. The Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You know, the word love is used a whole lot. The word love is used very loosely. You know, people say they love their jobs, they love cars. Some of us say we love to eat and all kinds of things. And sometimes in relationships, individuals would declare their love one for another. Am I right about it? Brother Davis, Arthur Davis, can you remember when you was courting your wife? Some of the things you would do to show that you love her. You remember those things, brother? All right. But also, sometimes when the storms come, the love songs start playing, don't they? And you start playing songs such as "A Thin Line Between Love and Hate." "Love Doesn't Live Here Anymore." Or "After the Love Has Gone." But in the scripture, we don't find a fair-weather love, do we? We find a better grasp of the word love. In the Bible, we are told that even to have a chance at eternal salvation, we needed a better way. We needed a better offering to redeem us from our sins. And the only offering that would satisfy God's demand was Jesus, the perfect Lamb, who had no sins of his own. You know, every time I think about this, I reminisce about our dearly belated brother, Roscoe Simmons. You know, he would say it so well. He would say that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe.
Yes, sir.
Because we owed a debt that we could not pay.
Amen.
God had to send Jesus to burden the sins of the world and to be the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life that we may gain ours, a love that is like no other. In verse 11, we learn something that we learn how we should love each other. The Bible says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another." You know, because God loved us, we are now able to love one another. Also in John 15 and 13, Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, if somebody burst in here right now and started shooting up the place, I don't know how many brothers would voluntarily jump up here and take some bullets from me. Do I have any takers in the audience? But in a sense, this is what Jesus has already done for us. He laid down his life because he loved us. Also in the previous verse, 12, Jesus commands us to love one another. He says, "This is my commandment, that ye have loved one for another as I have loved you. The question is, how did he love us? He loved us by coming down to this world, amen. He loved us by showing us how we should live and conduct our lives with one another. He loved us by having the courage to endure the pain and to subject himself to be killed on the cruel cross. And he loved us by reminding us that if we do the will of his Father, we will surely be with him one day. The lesson is yours. I hope that this lesson can make us more aware of what was sacrificed on our behalf. Number one, a father's decision to send his only begotten son into this cruel world. And number two, a son's willingness to give his life as a ransom to die on the cross for our sins. A love that is like no other. Now, if you are wondering how to become a part of this loving family, there are some requirements that one must take into account. The first is that you must hear about Jesus, how he came down from heaven, which you heard tonight, how he manifests himself as a man to live the perfect example that we can follow. But then he died on the cruel cross, but he arose again, never to die again. The second thing is that you must believe that gospel. Believe that he is the Son of the living God. We are reminded of that fact in John 3:16. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The third thing that one must do is repent. Change your life for the better. Turn away from all things that you know to be wrong. If it's lying, you need to stop lying. If you're stealing, stop stealing. We got to give them up, let them go, and turn them loose. Because we're reminded in Luke 13:3, the Bible tells us, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The fourth thing that you must do is confess. Confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. We're reminded of this fact in Romans 10:10. The Bible tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The last and most crucial step is that you must be baptized. You got to wash away those sins. Acts 2:38 tells us, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As well, if you are already a part of God's family, but you find yourself a guilty distance from him, why not make it right tonight?
Yes, sir.
Like I said at the beginning of the sermon, we can be here today and gone tomorrow. Promise is not guaranteed to no man. Only time that you have is right now to make it right.
Amen.
Or if you need prayer, we'll ask that you pray. We can pray with you and for you. You find yourself in these categories, we'll ask that you come as together we stand and sing the Lord's invitation song.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength then need is more. Child of weakness, watch and praise. Find in me thine all and all. Jesus paid it all to him. Crimson stain.
And he
Once again, I just want to thank the brethren for this opportunity. Also, at the end of this part, I just want to, if you weren't here this morning, so I want to let you know Brother Manzo did a great job. First time back in a long time, but he did an awesome job. And we want that brother to know we love him. We want the brother also to know, take his time so he can heal up properly. Brother Manzo. But once again, I do thank you for your attention and your patience and your participation. The love that God and Jesus has for us is as a love that is like no other. Turn it back over to the hands of the brother.